Welcome to our weekly podcast, Parking the Bus. I'm Palash. I have my friend
Hey guys.
Chiranjeev with me. So, Man United, the club, the legend, got out of UEFA Champions League. So, let's park the bus. So we'll start
Yeah, I
with
guess we'll
Syria.
do that.
A lot happened in Syria. Juventus defeated Torino in the derby. I remember I saw this match. First half, Juventus played like, relegation Norwich.
What?
Yeah. Like no legs, no... I mean, they didn't have a gameplay for me. They didn't have a gameplay. Nothing was there. Then second half, slowly, they took up the pace. And when they took up the pace, Juventus looked like the classic Juventus. And I guess this is something that they carried.
And I also want to mention about one...
To Barcelona
I also want to mention about one single player here. Weston McKennie, their new signing. God, you know, like, I never expected, no racism here, but, you know, I never expected Americans to play football this well at, you know, this stage of the competition, you know, Christian.
Americans are actually tearing football apart. Like, I won't be shocked if, I'm not sure if America is in Qatar 2022.
Yeah, I think it is. Oh, wait, I'm not very sure. I don't think it's there, though.
It will come, but because
there are qualifiers.
Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna,
Christian Pulisic. You know, the forward looks really fun, and this Weston McKennie guy, he's really young. He's been stepping up to the situation when Juventus wants him. Like, he's being the next Dybala. You know, Dybala is not playing much these days.
Being Dybala, yeah.
And you know. This small guy is actually stepping up to the situation, and I really, really wanted to talk about him in this, you know, situation.
Yeah. I mean, they are playing good, and they won, like, second half they played so well that they got their much-deserved victory. Like, in first half, if you see, Juventus played so... bad. Juventus played so bad that you could have thought that how will this team improve? Like, this is the best team. But in second half, the way they played, it was fun to watch. Apart from that, AC Milan did.
Yeah,
AC
I mean,
Milan.
They're literally on a huge form, I think. I think they just kept winning only.
And Napoli defeated Crotone. Now, it's not a big deal, to be honest, but... Since, if I have noticed one thing, since Diego Maradona's
demise,
I should say, has passed demise, they have emerged into a much.
Yeah, I think the you could say probably the positive drive behind them, you know, to probably become such a great player, you know, a great player such that a stadium is being renamed. Such a great player.
Yeah.
So I think that the positive drive is pushing them forward. And I think, I think you also told countless of times, Napoli has always been a very good side this season. It's just that they lost very few matches, and one of them being the coronavirus to blame.
Yeah. Apart from that, Inter Milan won against Bologna. But what I felt from this match was, Inter Milan, like, I don't know if it is Antonio Conte only, you can only tell better. But they're not looking like a side, like, if you park the bus also, like, you should have seen this Spurs versus Arsenal match. When we were 2-0 up, and in first second half, 15 minutes, I saw in 60th minute, I predicted we are keeping a game. Because the parking the bus, the name of the podcast, and that thing was so strong. Like, how will you break this? Even Man City can't break it. Like, one of the best attacking sides. So, but Inter, I don't understand what is their gameplay.
You could remember me saying I love Antonio Conte, but right now I feel a little bad for him because He couldn't even get Inter Milan the Europa League qualification. He was in the Champions League, he was
Correct.
fourth place. That is a disgrace for Inter Milan. Because they were, what, semi-finalists last
Yeah.
year or finalists last year?
Of Europa
And
League
look at them, they're not
finalists.
even qualified for the Europa League this year. What the hell is that? I don't understand.
And this is an upgraded team of that
Yes,
last
exactly.
year. Like last year, I remember for Inter Milan, this Ashley Young
Yeah.
and all were playing. Now they have better players in Ivan Perisic, who has won Champions League, Ashraf Hakimi, an
Yes.
amazing signing, Arturo Vidal, Alexis Sanchez
I mean,
2.0.
see, they do have good players. I don't know why Antonio Conte is not utilizing them to the entire potential. I mean, the same team, probably without Ashraf Hakimi, without Arturo Vidal, without, you know, the players who you mentioned, finished 1 point behind Juventus the previous season. 1 point, like, you know, that is the gap. And look at them this season. They couldn't even qualify for Europa League. I don't know, man. I'm dumbfounded.
Exactly. Exactly. I also don't understand. And one thing I would like to pick up, not saying Antonio Conte this or that, but I don't understand why is he not playing Christian Eriksen. Like 2 years back for Spurs, he was world class. Like after Ozil, he was the only one. Like in and some parts, he was ahead of Ozil, and his legs are not gone as Ozil. Like as people, Arsenal people say, Ozil's legs are gone. His legs are not gone. I don't understand. Like why is he not?
And I remember, you know, seeing in Premier League saying, commentator saying, you know, that is the man Christian Eriksen who rarely makes any mistakes. So he's the kind of player who can actually bring experience on the pitch. And when a player like that is on the bench or sometimes on the reserve, I feel really bad.
Yeah. So from Syria, let's park the bus to La Liga. Barcelona lost yet again. And this time, all the three goals were scored by Cadiz. And you have 21 shots, eight shots on target, 83% possession, and zero goals from your players.
See, my God, I know it is, you know, oh my God, I just understood the own goal joke. Okay, I mean, I don't know what to say of Barcelona, to be honest, because I really right now feel that probably, you know, the youngsters should step up their game, because really right now, you know, for example, say no Messi, no Barcelona, something like that. And if there is Messi, only Messi is Barcelona. No one else will play for Barcelona. So, which is something which should definitely change at this club, because if this club loses Messi, probably even the next season, it will not be a surprise if this team goes to relegation or something like that.
Not relegation. Barcelona, like, will never get relegated. At least I
yes,
don't think
okay.
so in my
I mean,
lifetime.
I'm just telling, you know.
Europa League. Yeah, I'll
Yeah.
say
Oh,
Europa
yeah.
League
Okay.
fight.
Fine. That itself could be actually thinking about it. That itself is going to be a disgrace for such a huge club. So, you know, I don't know what is happening to the club. I hope they actually come back, because Barcelona used to be feared. Like Camp Nou, mainly Camp Nou in the Champions League is like one no go. If you go to Camp Nou, you will lose. There's no other thing to even look for. But then Juventus came and beat them 3-0.
Yeah.
I was really surprised when this happened. I was like, what is this happening?
And it was as embarrassing. Like, it
Yeah.
was an embarrassing defeat rather than a normal 1-0, 2-0 defeat. Like, Cadiz defeat came as, I should say, not a surprise. Like, if 2 years back Cadiz would have defeated Barcelona, everyone would have been like, oh my god, what just happened?
Yeah, I think right
This is
now, I
miracle.
think Barcelona
Miracle.
fans
Now
have,
it's
you
not a
know,
miracle.
just sat down and, you know, just started praying
Lost
for good
hope.
things to start happening. That's all.
And that, for me, is not going to start until and unless Guardiola is
I mean,
I have been his biggest critic from day one, and I'll be.
I think you have to bring back Luis Enrique.
Not, I
I mean,
want
okay,
Pep
that
to
is
come back,
ambitious,
to
but
be
sure, I
honest.
guess.
Because if Man City does not win Premier League or Champions League,
I
Pep is
don't know.
gone.
I mean, he's made them a superpower, so I don't think he'll be sacked so soon.
He has made them a superpower and they are on a, but if they don't win this season also, do you think like
I
he should
feel
stay?
like he should stay because I think this is the only league which has actually given him competition. Because he's won Champions League with both the other teams
Yeah.
he's played with, and this with this.
I still remember his Pep's ban was like
Yeah,
as
and I think it
dangerous
was
as
more
this ban.
dangerous because of the players' quality at that moment. Because he, I think when Pep Guardiola was the manager, only Lewandowski scored 5 goals in 9 minutes because that was the amount of terrorizing
Yeah.
things they used to do at that time. So, I mean, Pep is Pep. You have to obviously respect him.
No, this is something that
Yeah.
has to change from time. Also, Real Madrid won
I mean,
1-0.
I.
That too, Sevilla scored the goal.
I mean, actually, for some reason, after the Europa League finals, when Sevilla won it, I was like, okay, Sevilla is going to be a real, real, real superpower, you know, next season in La Liga. But I mean, I don't think much, you know, right now because they obviously they lost to the big team. Okay, I understand that and all. But even in the table,
And they
yeah,
lost
they
their
lost
good
good
players
players. But
also.
even in the table, they are
Yeah.
in 6th place. I mean, they played 2 matches lesser, but still, you know. I feel that Sevilla is not that domination, the dominating team they were last season, at least.
The thing with Sevilla is right now Barcelona's spot up top is empty. So either you go and fetch that spot, and I feel like Atletico Madrid is upgrading themselves to go
I
to
can.
that. Apart from that, Bundesliga one very, very, very interesting game happened. That was between
Yes.
Bayern and Leipzig. Full technical game. Like, first of all, new Julian
Yes,
Nagelsmann
seriously,
cuts
seriously,
off
very,
the
very
back line.
underrated manager. And a lot of them started blaming him and, you know, scolding him after he lost final with Manchester United. But I know he showed who he was. He showed what his team is capable of. And, you know, when, you know, keeping Bayern 3-0, 3-all at their home is not a very easy thing to do. And he pulled it off.
Yeah, when like I'll tell you like that, when big managers, even like consider from Pep
Okay.
to anyone, will play against Bayern, they'll try to not press Bayern Munich. He did press Bayern Munich. And he scored 3 goals. His team, his side
Yes.
scored 3 goals. So that was something that caught my eye. Like, wow, RB Leipzig are becoming a
Yeah,
real
they are
team
like, you
slowly,
know, rising to
slowly.
the superpowers. I think next season, you know, before they will start losing players, obviously, because of the quality of players they have. Mainly Upamecano, who just signed 2023 deal. But I think he will slowly leave because he's really, really good. And, you know, they play really well too.
Yeah. So from Bundesliga, let's pass the
Yes.
bus to Premier League. A lot of action happened. We'll pick just two or three matches, one of them being Chelsea against Leeds United. So it was for me like I heard that few Chelsea fans consider this as a big
Yes,
as a
it
derby.
was.
But for me, it was like Frank Lampard versus Bielsa, that Derby County versus Leeds United
Yes.
derby, like not derby,
Yes.
like that
Yes.
battle, rivalry.
And the thing is, I think Derby County in their final moments, I think started making a little mistakes. But I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, Leeds United. My God, I'm not proud of this. But if you play a little of a high line against Chelsea, and Timo Werner is on the pitch, then you can expect a very serious counter attack. And I think Leeds United made a mistake there. But Timo Werner missed a couple of goals, which I was a little bummed about because he missed an open post opportunity. He missed a lot of things. But, you know, we still walked away with victory, which is a good thing. But, you know, Yeah, it was a pretty good game. It was very tactical too. I felt it was very tactical. And I think BL, there was a stat which said we ran 4 kilometers more than the Leeds United players on the field. So I was really happy with that stat, I guess. So, yeah. And
Also, one special, like, who was your man of the match for this one?
I think Kurt Zouma was the man of the match, if I'm not wrong.
Same. Like, Kurt Zouma has become your most lethal goal scorer this season.
He has more goals than Firmino, Aubameyang, Rashford this season. Yeah. And, you know, I think this is then, very small of a match when I'm going to tell about the next match, because it is your match. The Tottenham match. Yes.
A North London derby.
So, you just walked.
70% possession walked over with Arsenal.
Easily.
Yeah, and our opponents had 70% of the
possession. I mean, that is obviously there. But, you know, Mourinho's tactics is always
nice. I felt like, I don't know, was it like, but I heard like few Arsenal fans saying that Mourinho always puts tactics like this. Like, he'll ask Arsenal to put a high line. And
I feel this match was very, like, you know, similar to what match. Man City played to, because, you know, 2-0, 2-0. And, you know,
yes.
Mourinho is very easy going. You know, if he scores early goals, your team is basically done.
Yeah. And this, like, but this is something that scares also. Because in the end, like if you look at our team in the last 10 or 15 minutes, we can be a little bit sloppy, because you are defending exactly for 30, 60 minutes now. 60 minutes. And also, I didn't see Aubameyang in this match. I was very surprised. Like, Lacazette's form is not going well, I understand, and he was trying, but he was coming, tackling, he was falling deep. But I didn't see Aubameyang.
And the thing is, like, since Aubameyang signed a new contract, I feel his form is a little, you know, gone down for some reason.
Not little, too
and,
much.
You know,
too much.
Most of the people, pundits who predicted the Golden Boot, put Aubameyang in it, because that is how a player he is. He can just, you know, score 20 goals in the Premier League as if it's nothing. And I can't believe that, you know, the domination of Aubameyang is slowly, I mean, not it's not coming to an end, but it's decreasing, which is a little surprising for me.
Yes, for me also. Also, for me, Heung-min
yes,
Son's
obviously
goal was some.
I really wanted to tell you
he's
this, though.
He's already nominated for Puskas.
Before I forget, I'll make this point, actually. I was really, really thinking Arsenal would actually walk away with the victory. Because they have Willian. Okay. And Willian always scores against Tottenham.
I know.
And I really thought that Willian is pulling out a masterclass. But I think Mourinho was a little too good for Arteta.
Yeah, correct. Not little too good, but yeah. So, few Arsenal fans are saying that Arteta's time at Arsenal has come to an end. As they are already 15th or 14th in the league.
Yes, and even DT in the Arsenal fan TV started telling Arteta out. Because it was a really surprise, really big surprise when he told it. I think, you know, Arsenal should get back their way under Arteta, because he won the FA Cup, he won the Community Shield,
FA Community Shield only, yes.
Yeah,
FA
so against, you know, Liverpool and, you know, us very easily. So I feel that, you know, that Arteta with, you know, Thomas Partey, Willian should be back properly, because, you know, I really wanted. I really want the top six to come back to top six.
I understand Arteta and all. I am very scared of him. Like, he can tear Premier League apart. But if you look at his 8 months, I guess now it's about 11th month. He's in his 11th tenure. In Premier League, he has transformed Arsenal into a much more defensive unit. But they're not defend, like, they are good, defending well, and their goals are good.
I get it. I get the point.
Like in this match, 44 crosses Arsenal put against Spurs. How many goals? Zero. Like this is his tactic, basically. Go to give it the ball to fullback. He'll put a cross and now. Kieran Tierney played well, but Kieran Tierney is not Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I agree.
I don't see a direction, to be honest. But yeah, it can be like, maybe I'm just overreacting, but like, I don't know.
You know, I get the point.
Maybe Allegri, someone like Allegri.
I mean, see, the thing is, if you're going to cross the ball, I feel, you know, even Willian could do it. I think better than, I think, Kieran Tierney. Because I feel Willian has delivered some amazing crosses to us when he was in Chelsea. So I think, you know, the focus on the fullbacks should change to the wingers, I feel. I mean, you know, I am not any big manager. I'm not going to talk as if I know everything about football here. But I feel there's something wrong with his tactics and he should change it soon before it becomes too late.
Yeah. But let's see. I don't know. Like, we have to wait till Christmas for like Arteta's decision. Like, maybe.
You know, the winter transfer window will open soon. So let's see.
And one more thing, Arteta got what he wanted. Apart from Aouar, he wanted
and Partey. Gabriel Magalhaes. Yes.
He wanted Gabriel. He got Willian. So it's not a bad transfer window for Arsenal. It was not. It was a very good transfer window. And he could have transformed Pepe also. But yeah, Pepe will come. So let's see what happens. So from this, let's quickly go to UEFA Champions League, where Real Madrid. I heard few people saying, oh, Real Madrid will go to Europa. I was saying them, this in my lifetime, I'll never see.
I mean, I think there are a few teams which, you know, for example, PSG, Real Madrid, Barcelona, where you will never see them playing in the Champions League at all. At least for a very long time. Because those teams have quality in them. They do not have singular players in them. They have the quality. They know when to step up to the real situation. And they have managers like Zidane who knows what to play, when to play, and you know, winning back-to-back-to-back Champions League is not a small thing, and you cannot keep telling Ronaldo, Ronaldo, Ronaldo for that because his team performed well. Okay, it's just not a single man army. And Luka Modric, what a player, my goodness.
He was cleanly
man of the match, and I actually was, you know, I think you would have remembered, I was actually scolding Modric when he got the Ballon d'Or. But right now, I'm not talking anything.
Luka Modric is someone who gives 8 or 9 in every match. Not 8 or 9, 7 to 9.
Exactly. Very consistently. He very, very rarely has any bad games, which is unnoticed most of the times.
And this, and one more guy.
Like, I think arguably for me,
like from past two times Real Madrid are losing because of Sergio Ramos, because he's red carded in that match and they just lose. If you put Rafael Varane with Sergio Ramos in any game, Rafael Varane becomes a beast.
And I feel Ramos, arguably, I know a lot of people will have different decisions, is the third best player in the world right now. Clean.
For me,
at least. For me. I mean, you can tell Neymar, Mbappe, go on, but Ramos is clean third. I don't know why people aren't rating him that high.
And I remember making this statement once. Van Dijk is Ramos's level. No. I take every word of it. Because Van Dijk was Van Dijk.
I mean, this year he got injured, so no offense to him, though. But, you know, if Van Dijk plays well for the next couple of seasons, then we can probably put him there. But you can, like, when people compare, you know, Ramos or Terry or, you know, Ferdinand with, you know, players like Van Dijk and all, I get a little, you know, put off saying, you know, it's just one season. You've just seen him for one season.
Whenever I play football with my friends or anyone, I just see him. Like, I almost Not almost. Every time I get a yellow card in the game, until I don't make a foul to a guy, I'm not satisfied from internally. I most for this because, like, if I'm not playing as a goalkeeper, if I try to do defense, this is my game. Come, if someone is coming to stand and do a foul, he'll be hurt, he'll be frustrated, and it will be your side. Like, every foul only. Until it's a penalty.
Yes.
So, yeah, Real Madrid does. Ajax, again, in Europa.
I really feel bad, man. I cannot feel more bad for Ajax, to be honest, because I really thought they will go through because, you know, Atlanta is a great team and all, but I never expected Atlanta to qualify. I mean, Atlanta and Ajax, I mean, I cannot choose, but Atlanta has not been superpower. They've been last season. And I don't know, man. I was really bummed about Ajax when they left the Champions League this season.
Barcelona lost to Juventus.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure any football fan would have missed this match. Like, I remember I didn't sleep the night before because of some study, like my personal reasons. Next night, I was like 11 o'clock, my head started paining. I was like full sleepy, sleepy, but I didn't sleep.
Hello, bro.
Ah.
Sorry, bro. I got a call now. Sorry.
Okay. Airtel fuckers are calling everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Stupid insurgents. Okay.
So I remember. Okay, I'll go. Fine. Now I'll start.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure I won't ask you about this match, Barcelona against Juventus, because it was Messi versus Ronaldo, and the night before I didn't sleep because of some personal reasons. But for this match, I took all the pain in my head. Like,
see, bro,
till now my head is paining because of this.
During this match, I was actually traveling in a train and I didn't care. I did not care one bit. The next day, I very well knew that I was going to stand for the next 6 hours or something like that. But I didn't want to miss this for the world. So I decided, you know, football or life, I decided football. So I watched this match actually. And I see, the thing is, when you watch these two teams play, you can actually see them. See these two players being elevated so much above, you know, the class, the play they play on the field is so, so amazing that, you know, Ronaldo with that clearance from the defense line, Messi tackling Ronaldo, and, you know,
Ronaldo tackling Messi,
yeah.
I mean, dribbling. Yeah.
So every single thing in this match was only about them, and they made it worth the wait, I guess. I mean, okay. You as a Barcelona fan obviously would not like it, but you know, when you watch it in a neutral point of view, I really wanted Messi to score at least one or two goals, but you know, what happened, I guess. So it's just the Camp Nou record has been broken.
I don't understand what Barcelona is still doing.
But like, the clean sheet was a little bit harsh.
I understand that players must be thinking, okay, this is just a practice kind of match because all the players have qualified. But this match, you know what stage this match has put Barcelona into? Now, Barcelona has to either face Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Man City, Liverpool, Dortmund, or one more club I'm forgetting.
I think Zenit, if I'm not wrong.
Who topped that group? One group.
I think Zenit or Martial didn't top, I guess. I'm not sure.
PSG.
Yes. My God, why am I forgetting? Yes.
These are the possible opponents of Barcelona for the next game.
Yeah.
At this point of time, if you ask, do you think Barcelona can beat any team in any of these teams in a two-legged tie? I will say no.
I feel y'all can actually, I know I'll sound a little bit pessimistic here, but I feel very strongly you can beat Chelsea.
No, because there is no system in this team, right?
I mean, I don't know, man. I cannot. See, the thing is, Champions League is like, you know, the best that is of ever that's of football, and it is up to the team to step up their game on that particular day. So you know, Atlanta can beat PSG at their good day. So that is why I'm not willing to even comment about this, because I'm scared that, you know, I feel that Barcelona has a possibility even with Bayern Munich if they play really well. That is all I'm saying.
See, before Quique Setién, Valverde's tactic was to just do messy things, okay?
Yeah.
I trusted that. I could have trusted that when that 8-2 happened. Like, seriously, if Quique said Valverde was there against this Bayern Munich, he would have said, Messi, you do your things. Rest of the team, you just give the ball to Messi. You
and I feel 8-2 would have definitely not happened if Valverde was there, because after 3-0, 4-0 only, I think Valverde would have actually, you know, made his team sit back.
Yeah. That could have been more smarter. But yeah, now with Ronald Koeman, I don't know. Anything can happen. 8-2 can get worse. 8-0. Because it's Barcelona. Oh, it's harsh as well as that. And we'll do one more episode in future predicting who will win the UCL.
Oh yeah, that is left, I guess. I think after the draw finishes, we can do that maybe. That will be more...
That will be more sensible. Otherwise,
yes, we'll just because we cannot just randomly predict matches.
Yeah. So, one more, okay? Before going to our prediction section, one comment I would like to ask you to make. What do you think of Paul Pogba?
I was actually waiting. You know, I was actually wondering from the beginning of the podcast where this question go. See, Paul Pogba, you know, you can actually argue with me, I don't care, is world class. Okay.
If he was in Chelsea and doing same things, what would have you done?
I feel, thing is, Paul Pogba did not play bad for Manchester United. Because even when he came during the Leipzig match for the last 20 minutes, he actually played really well. He never stepped down his game. It's just that the chance was not being given to him. That's all. Like, you know, I feel like I know a lot of people are linked Paul Pogba to Chelsea almost immediately. But we all know in the winter transfer, he's going to Juventus and Dybala is coming to United, I guess.
This is a rumor. Yes.
So I feel I really like Paul Pogba because the way he played at France for the World Cup, I feel like really, bad that he'll be leaving the Premier League, because I was actually really afraid when Manchester United fans told me about, you know, Van de Beek, Pogba and Bruno Fernandes in their midfield. I was really afraid, man. I'll be honest. I was really afraid. And when I think not one match has those three played together.
They played, but like in bits.
You know, yeah, in bits, you know. I agree in bits. But see, I know it is very... It hurts to say... But Bruno Fernandes is world-class player right now, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, correct.
After the goal he scored, before the... I don't remember. In the Champions League, the volley he scored. Yeah. Really, really... Oh, my God. And I... even for Portugal, he stepped up his game. I know I'm throwing the word world-class here and there. But I think we have to
agree here that... Bruno is world-class, yes.
And Van de Beek is a player who will actually help the team... Arise. He's not a player who will alone do something, you know, fully amazing things, but he will help the team rise. So I was really afraid. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is playing Matic and Mata in midfield. I don't understand, really.
For me, I disagree with you. Because if you see All or Nothing, Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay.
In that one episode, you might remember Danny Rose. He went and argued with Jose Mourinho.
Okay.
Currently, he's playing with our under-23s. 1 year back, he was England's left-back starter. He started in their World Cup every game. And now he's playing with our under-23s. Okay.
Okay.
And it is not we are not as big as Man United. If someone's manager, like either Pogba should fire Raiola for this. And this is a fireable offense, I'll say. Because you are Manchester United. If your players are not respecting, imagine you are Bruno. You see Paul Pogba doing this, and then Manchester United coming back and giving him like 400k a week offer. Or maybe if they want to sell him, they might as well sell him right now in this January window. Otherwise, he'll go for free.
Yes. And I think right now, I feel any team in the world...
You won't have a motivation you won't have motivation to play if you have your team has Paul Pogba in it. Like, if Paul Pogba does these things, because he might step up the game and this and that, but when you're walking into the stadium, you have to have motivation that everyone wants to.
I have to agree with you at this part. This part, I totally agree with you. I agree that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, be the attitude player kind of, you know, one.
If it would have happened in Sir Alex Ferguson's era, I bet Paul Pogba's name would have, like, Paul Pogba would have played well under 23s or even bad, under 19s. Like, he would have destroyed his career. Like, what Mourinho did to Danny Rose.
Mm.
So, I guess like this. Time for predictions. So
we have two derbies.
Manchester Derby. Let's start with Manchester Derby.
Okay. I'm going with Man U winning the match.
Mm-hmm. You are going with or you are wanting Man U to win the match?
No. I mean, I do not know who I want to win because both of them will eventually be a problem for Chelsea. But right now, I feel that Man U is winning this match. I'm going to say 3-2 Man U.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say obvious Bruno Fernandes, Sergio mm-hmm. Aguero and Paul Pogba on the score sheet.
Oh, wow. This one, I feel like Man U can keep a clean sheet in this match. Yes, Man U can keep a clean sheet.
All right.
2-0 Manchester United.
Wow, okay. Okay.
Bruno and Rashford to score.
Okay. I feel like, you know, it is going to be, you know, 2-0 Man City after the half-time.
When Sergio Aguero is playing, you can't just say his team to score 0 goals. And I know it won't happen. But I'm just going for a bold prediction.
Okay. Okay, I understand.
And Man U's defense has been SHITE this season.
Yeah, sure.
So, one more derby. Atletico versus Real Madrid. I mean, yes. Real Madrid versus Atletico Madrid.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go with Atletico Madrid. I mean, why? Okay. I'm going for a draw 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
With Felix.
Do you think Atletico Madrid will concede 2 goals?
Yeah, I feel Atletico Madrid can really concede 2 goals.
They have conceded 2 goals in their 10 matches this season.
I'll also do this the bold thing like you did the last time because I really want to go for a draw and I feel this match will definitely not be a 1-1 draw or a 0-0 draw. So I'm definitely going for a 2-2 draw. Even though it's a little bold.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still change my prediction. 2-2. Let's see. I think I'll put Suarez and Benzema on the score sheet.
Okay. I'm going for a 1-0 victory to Atletico Madrid away.
Okay. No surprises here.
João Felix on the score sheet.
Okay.
And I feel like this goal will come in first 30 minutes itself. Then you'll see.
Okay, let's
see. Best parking the bus ever. Like when I now see Atletico Madrid, I feel like they are Tottenham 2.0. What we have become, they're just second 2.0 version of us.
I mean, they've always been like that, I guess.
Like I guess Simeone was hired in 2013, right?
Yes.
since then they are just defending only. Like they have become a club.
I think Ferguson told offense wins you matches, defense wins you trophies. I think Simeone took it a little bit seriously.
Like against big teams, like even like let's say not big teams but bad, good teams. Not good teams, okay-ish teams who are
okay, I understand.
Struggling in La Liga. Valladolid, they kept just 55% position. They had equal number of shots and shots on target.
I mean, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. So, with that being said, I guess it's time to wrap up today's episode.
Yes.
So, thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you, Chef Charan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Peace out and bye-bye.